when I wrote my first message to him in response to his profile, the first line of my message was, "You like tacos like I like ice cream." And when he tells the story, he says that's probably the sexiest thing anybody's ever said to him. That sparked a conversation about where do you get the best tacos in LA? What's your favorite ice cream? And our first date was ice cream. Our second date was ice cream. And then in the first probably year of our relationship, and we've been together for three, we're both entrepreneurs. We're super creative. We're super, super gregarious. And we took all the creative energy, the energy vortex that was born when we got together, and created Tacos and Ice Cream Los Angeles, where we run around LA and we eat street tacos and we take pictures of them. And then we eat ice cream and we take pictures of it and we post it on Instagram and on Facebook. And that's how it was born.
You're like the Yelp for just tacos and ice creams. I love it.
Welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, rock stars, welcome back to another episode of Rockstars Rockin'. And boy, am I fired up for the rock star of all rock stars. And yes, if you've listened to the show a few times, I do say that to everybody, but not to offend the one, the only Amy Evans. Welcome, Amy.
Hey, Eric, good to see you.
Oh man, I'm so pumped. Guys, for those of you that don't know Amy, let me tell you a little bit about Amy. I've known Amy for years. Amy is the president of Calibri Insurance Services out of the greater Los Angeles, SoCal area. She is also the founder of the Aligned Woman podcast and the Aligned Woman Leadership and Networking Organization for Professional Women. We're going to talk about all that. And we're also, stay tuned to the end, because we are going to talk about tacos and ice cream. So get your taste buds ready. Are you ready, Amy?
I am so ready.
All right, perfect. Well, Amy, I want to start, no disrespect to the insurance and employee benefits industry, because that's my full-time gig too, but I want to get the boring stuff out of the way for a minute. It's important. It's vital. It's mission critical. We do it for a living with passion, but it can tend to be on the boring side for people that don't really care about insurance and employee benefits. So can you just tell us a quick little summary about your benefits business, how you got started and how long you've been doing it and what you do?
Yep. Fell into the insurance industry about 20 years ago, worked for a company with a duck as a mascot like you did. And then left that company after about 10 years and went to work for a big national insurance brokerage to learn the employee benefits business. And in 2015, left there and started Calibri Insurance Services in Los Angeles. So we just celebrated our fifth anniversary, and I'm super happy in this business. It has been very, very good to me, but I agree with you. It is not super sexy and not necessarily super dynamic, although we can nerd out on it when we need to. So that's the short version. And I continue to run that agency. It's my full-time job, serving clients, helping them with their employee benefits in Southern California.
Well, I would tend to agree. It's definitely not the sexiest of industries or career options, but it is important. We can both agree with that. And folks listening can probably agree as well. Real quick, tell me where the name Calibri came from.
Yeah, it means hummingbird in French and Spanish and Italian. I speak fluent French because I double majored in it in college. I took it for about a total of 10 years. Wow. And really, if I can get it on camera, I have a hummingbird tattoo on the inside of my left wrist. And I had the tattoo long before I had the agency. But when I was thinking about what I wanted to name the agency, I had just recently returned from a trip to Paris. And I literally looked down at my arm in the car and went, Calibri. That sounds like a good name. And it worked out. So that's where the name came from.
I love it. And I'm just impressed with myself that I actually say it right. Calibri.
You do.
But there may have been a little help from you years ago by making sure I say it properly. All right. So let's talk about something that you are truly passionate about. And I'm passionate about too, because I nominate myself as a member, even though I don't typically wear skirts or dresses, lipstick or makeup. And that is the Align Women Leadership Networking Organization for Professional Women. Hopefully you've seen over the years, I'm a big proponent of furthering women, strong, badass women, as I say it all the time, mm-hmm. On social media. I was so excited when I saw you start this. Can you tell us about it? Where the passion came from with respect to starting the organization?
Yeah, the origination was me being frustrated with the networking opportunities that I had in Los Angeles. The way that business is done here in LA, and I'm not sure this is true everywhere, but for Los Angeles, for employee benefits, it's really a trusted advisor system in LA. So I'm not necessarily, I'm not usually interacting with the people who become my clients. They're not out at networking events and I'm not meeting them. I'm meeting the trusted advisors that serve them. So CPAs, employment law attorneys, HR consultants, those are the people I want in my circle because they're the ones introducing me to the people that I'm ultimately going to do business with. And I found that the traditional networking in LA was, and I'll use this phrase, I don't own it, but it was male, pale, and stale. I mean, we know the insurance industry tends to be that.
Susan Combs, our rock star friend Susan.
There we go.
The first time
she probably shared it with me. Yep. She's been on my podcast. So
I plugged Susan there.
So that's true. The insurance industry. It's also true of the attorney industry and the accountant industry. And so, you know, I would go to events with 50 people where two would be women. And I just didn't like the format. I didn't like happy hour at the end of the day. I didn't like business card bingo. I didn't like the idea that I was supposed to collect as many cards as possible and do my pitch and pray and hope that somebody needed what I did. And sure. So I rethought what I wanted networking to look like. And what I wanted was a room full of women who all offered professional services like I did, who all worked with small and medium businesses like I did, who were all in a business development role like I was. So they were all invested in making connections, being engaged, making introductions, looking out for their clients. I couldn't find anything that looked like that. I also wanted our interactions to be very intentional. So rather than just putting all of those women in a room together, I wanted us to be actively engaged in learning about each other's businesses and doing things to move each other's businesses forward. So I was in a very formal, expensive networking group where we would go to a meeting, there'd be 30 people in the room, everybody would do their, you know, 30-second elevator pitch, we'd get paired up, we'd go to a lunch or a coffee or a dinner or a happy hour, we'd talk about social things, and then we'd part ways, and very rarely would any business happen. And I didn't feel like that was productive. And as an entrepreneur who's now running two businesses, I need to use my time as effectively as possible. And I felt like a lot of the women I wanted to do business with felt the same. So I built a networking mastermind in the spring of 2019 with a dozen women who all had the alignment that I described, with the belief that if we were aligned from the beginning going into the group and we interacted very intentionally by having meeting topics that helped us understand each other's businesses, and we engaged in marketing activities that promoted our businesses, that the referrals would come, and that also the bonding and the friendship would come as a result. And the first networking mastermind proved that. It was a one-year cycle that started in 2019. In 2020, I continued that first one and started a second one. And now this spring, I'll continue both of those and start a third. And that was the genesis of Align Women, was really the networking mastermind. It has grown to a lot more than that.
That's awesome. So let me ask you, I'm pretty sure it's not focused specifically on one industry, of course, it's any and all, correct?
So the format is available to anybody. And what's fun is watching how it grows. Logically, I built it to benefit my insurance agency. So the first mastermind was built around women in professional services who were selling business to business. The second mastermind is women in professional services who are selling business to consumer. So they're going directly to individuals and families selling insurance products or financial services or other things, not to businesses, but to individuals. We're looking at starting another one that will focus on women who serve women in transition. So career coaches, financial advisors, divorce attorneys, who all focus on women who've gone through some major transition in their lives and are looking for support. We've also talked about doing a marketing mastermind that supports women who want to learn how to market themselves better on LinkedIn, and a leadership mastermind that focuses less on business development and more on leadership skills, although business development is always a part of the conversation if you're around me. So the format can be beneficial to any industry. You can organize and align women networking mastermind around any concept, as long as you have that alignment I talked about, where the women are all offering complementary services, they're all looking to build their businesses, and they all have similar clients.
Have you found that there's anything like this out there around the country since you started it?
I haven't. I looked for it before I started this, and because I'm wired as an entrepreneur, when I couldn't find it, I figured I'd start it myself. I've been introduced to other organizations that are in the same ballpark, to use a term that you would love, in the same ballpark. But what really differentiates what we do is the alignment that we create with the members when we start. Most other women's organizations will accept membership from anybody and not be so focused on making sure that alignment is there. And the meetings are structured very intentionally so that we get to know each other's businesses over the course of the 12 months that we're together. So each meeting has a topic, a discussion topic, and then the pairings that we do after the meetings are also built around an activity. So not just getting together and talking about how your business is going, but actually engaging in some sort of marketing activity to move one or both people's businesses forward. And I haven't found anything else that is that structured in order to keep the focus on business development. And when I get feedback from the mastermind members, that's one of the things that they say that they really enjoy, is that it creates a level of accountability, because women, I'll tell you, tend to veer towards the social. If you put us all in a room together and just let us chat, we're going to chat about all kinds of things, but not necessarily about generating revenue or marketing strategies or how to make more sales. And I really wanted to keep the focus on that.
So let me ask you this. Have you ever had, over the, I guess it's been a year and a half or more now, have you ever had a strong woman that wanted to join that you just didn't see to be a fit, and you had to politely tell them that they're not a fit?
Yeah, the networking masterminds are limited to 10 women, because that's as many as we can manage in an hour and a half long monthly meeting, where everybody gets the chance to engage, and we can get everybody paired up over the 12 months twice. And so there isn't any more room than 10. I have lots of women in my circle, and lots of the professions overlap. So in a networking mastermind, we've only got one, employee benefit specialist, one payroll person, one employment law attorney, and I've got lots of connections in those areas. And so the third one that I'll start this year is going to be another business to business mastermind, like the first one was, so that I can create more space for other women who are interested in this. The other piece that's really important is that the women have established businesses. So I'm not, while I'm happy to mentor women who are new to a business, this is for women who have an established book of business, because all of us want access to each other's clients in the best possible way. So somebody who's just starting, who doesn't have a client base, wouldn't be a fit for a networking mastermind yet.
And I like that, the way you say that, because that's known going in. So yes, there's, you're basically level setting expectations, yeah, that if you guys have a synergy and you bring that woman aboard, they know going in what the expectations are on both sides coming and going. So that's, yes, really, really unique. It's different than what I've seen in any networking that I've done or been a part of in any capacity. So that's really cool. Now, this is not a charity nonprofit event per se, and I don't want to use my terms incorrectly, but there is skin in the game on the part of the strong, as I would say, badass ladies. I mean, they have to be willing to invest. Is that accurate?
That's true. There's a membership fee to be a member for the 12-month cycle. That is really important to me because, like you said, it creates skin in the game. It creates a level of accountability and a level of commitment and forces a level of engagement that needs to be there for this to work. So one of the things that I experienced prior to starting Align Women was being in a networking organization where people would start smaller groups, offshoots, with the belief that because there was synergy amongst, you know, three or five people, that perhaps we could create, you know, some more referrals if we split off and met once a month and had coffee or had lunch together. And what I found every time was that three or five people would buy into that idea, but without anything to get them committed, no time commitment, no specific number of meetings. Eventually it fell apart. In 2 or 3 months, you know, one person wouldn't be able to make it, and then two people wouldn't be able to make it. And then everybody else would go, well, if nobody else is coming, I'm not coming either. And so the financial commitment is really important in order to keep everybody engaged. It's also, you know, with 10 people, if one doesn't show up or one's not engaging at the same level everybody else is, it's really obvious. So like you said, setting the expectations going in is really, really important for the success of one of these groups.
And I really like that you made a, I don't know what you would call it, like a letter to the public or who, I read a letter that you just wrote where you talked about how with passion, you're not looking for sponsors or vendors to host or sponsor anything that immediately and moving forward. And I don't know if it's in perpetuity, you can tell us the story, but that for now, at least you want to make sure that everything is funded, sponsored per se by Calibri Insurance. Is that accurate? Did I mess any of that up?
No, you didn't. I'm honored that you would notice that and bring it up. I call it my integrity pledge, and it was really born out of this thought process that I was engaged in. I started the organization in 2019. There was a membership fee for the first mastermind. It was not a huge membership fee. It probably covers the expenses of running the mastermind for a year in terms of my time organizing the meetings and the Zoom subscription in order to support it. But it was certainly not a profit driver. It was always intended, the mastermind was intended to generate referrals for my insurance business. That was the profit driver, and it has done that, and I am happy with it. The financial commitment for the masterminds is really more about making sure that the members are committed. It's not a big revenue generator for me. But what I noticed as the organization grew to more masterminds, to a Facebook community where we offer courses, to a podcast, is that when I started getting external coaching from wonderful people with good hearts who had great business ideas, it was a natural chain of events for them to start looking at how to monetize this. So with the podcast, conversations started about how to get sponsors to cover the expense of producing the podcast. With the community, conversations started about doing revenue shares with people who wanted to come in and maybe do a free webinar, and then at the end of the webinar offer access to a course that they were offering, and then they would do a revenue share with me. And while all of that was totally reasonable and normal, a standard business practice in groups like that, and a standard business practice with sponsorships, what I noticed is that it started to change the way I assessed opportunities, and I didn't like that. That didn't feel good to me. I didn't want the motivation for having a sponsor to be that they were willing to write a check and not that I felt that what they were doing was aligned for my audience, or I didn't want anyone's perception to be that I was promoting a course in the group because there was a revenue share on the back end. And I've never had a guest on the podcast or promoted anything that I didn't feel 100% was in alignment, but I didn't want the perception to be there. And I didn't like the way I started noticing my thought process changing. So I put an end to it. Ultimately, what I would love to do is adopt the Mind Valley model. If anybody is familiar with that, Vishen Lakhiani has a really neat business model where he invites people who have content into the organization, and everything that's offered is branded as a Mind Valley piece of content or branded as a Mind Valley course. So he has his influence on what's being offered, but he invites these amazing authors and teachers in to provide the courses. And so Align Women offering Align Women branded courses is totally something I can see happening in the future. But doing the back end revenue shares or having sponsors for things is something I've just taken off the table.
I like it. I like the I like the passion behind it and the why behind it. Everybody always says, what's the why? Well, you clearly explained it. And I think it makes a lot of sense. In the last few minutes, do you mind if we have a little fun? I would love to talk about tacos and ice cream. It does not necessarily have to be in that order. But for those that don't know, Amy is the co-chief taco and ice cream taster, for lack of a better word. Yeah. And my first question is not even how this came about, which I do want to know. That's my second question. My first question is, what's your favorite, tacos or ice cream, if you had to pick one?
Well, the ice cream. And when I answer your second question, that'll make sense.
Okay, go for it. Tell me, how did tacos and ice cream, they've got a great Instagram page about tacos and ice cream that I follow and I drool. So feel free to share that as well.
Yeah. So my husband, Dave, before he was my husband, we met on OkCupid. It's a dating site. We met on OkCupid and he had a hysterical profile that mentioned street food in Los Angeles, which I'm a big fan of. It mentioned tacos. And when I wrote my first message to him in response to his profile, the first line of my message was, "You like tacos like I like ice cream." And when he tells the story, he says that's probably the sexiest thing anybody's ever said to him. That sparked a conversation about where do you get the best tacos in LA? What's your favorite ice cream? And our first date was ice cream. Our second date was ice cream. And then in the first probably year of our relationship, and we've been together for three, we're both entrepreneurs. We're super creative. We're super, super gregarious. And we took all the creative energy, the energy vortex that was born when we got together, and created Tacos and Ice Cream Los Angeles, where we run around LA and we eat street tacos and we take pictures of them. And then we eat ice cream and we take pictures of it and we post it on Instagram and on Facebook. And that's how it was born.
You're like the Yelp for just tacos and ice creams. I love Google reviews. And she's not kidding, guys. I've followed it forever since it's been born as an Instagram page. What's the handle, by the way?
Oh, God. I'm pretty sure it's Tacos and Ice Cream Los Angeles.
Okay, there you go.
Dave's in charge of the Instagram. And if you type that in Facebook, you'll find it as well. It's a page on Facebook.
Okay, there you go. I think I follow it there too, but I always see it more on Instagram. Yeah. That's awesome. So tacos and ice cream. Let me ask you, you know, the small businesses, let's throw them some business. I don't have 5 million followers here yet with you coming aboard. Maybe we will. Is there one or two places for tacos and ice cream you can think of off the top of your head that we can plug here?
Sure. For tacos, I will say it's Angels Tijuana Tacos, and they are on Instagram. Not all the places we go to are on Instagram. These are still street vendors that are setting up pop-ups on the sidewalk. We don't typically go to trucks. We actually go to the street vendors that are setting up tables. Angel's Tijuana Tacos ticks off a heck of a lot of boxes that makes them, in our opinion, the best in LA. So they have a beautiful al pastor, which is that big sort of tower of meat that looks like shawarma that rotates on a spit.
Yes.
That's usually pork. It's seasoned. It has a really interesting history that comes from the Middle East and then went to Mexico. And it's not always done right, but Angel's does it just perfectly. So their al pastor is excellent. They have handmade tortillas on site. So not every place does that either. They'll bring bags of tortillas, but Angel's makes them handmade. They are chewy and puffy and delicious. They also have really good aguas frescas. So when they make the big plastic containers full of horchata or lemonade or strawberry lemonade or watermelon, theirs are really, really good. And then their salsas are really good. Mm. And all of those things, you can find lots of places that are good with one or two, but it's hard to find a place that lines all of those up. And even better, we moved about a year ago to Eagle Rock, which is Northeast Los Angeles, and Angel's opened up a location that's about 3 minutes away from our house. So not only do we think they're the best in LA, but they're super close to us.
That's awesome. Well, listen, next time I'm out in your area, and I'm not getting out there as often as I used to, because we used to party like crazy, right? Wink, wink. Party just go to dinner, by the way.
Right.
But we're going to have to go to that place. My treat. I will have all the meat. You can have my tortillas. I'm all in. I'm excited. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on, Amy. Before we let you go, where can folks find you and reach out to you?
Yeah, easiest way is to go to alignwomen.org, alignwomen.org. There's a link to the podcast. There's a link to my LinkedIn page. I'm super active on social media, and that is the best place to find me.
Okay. And what about the boring, not so sexy insurance website?
Yep. That's colibriins.com, colibriins.com.
And as Amy said, she is very active on social. You can find her on LinkedIn. You can definitely find Tacos and Ice Cream LA on Instagram. Amy, it's been my pleasure. I appreciate you so very much.
Thanks, man. It was good to see you and good to chat with you.
Absolutely. And listen, for everybody watching this on YouTube, for anybody listening, wherever it is that you love to consume podcasts, please, please, by all means, do me a favor. A nice short little written review would be amazing if you're so inclined. And don't forget, 5 stars would totally rock. So for everybody behind the scenes at the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast, because I promise you, I'm not doing it all. I'm Eric Silverman. That's Amy Evans. And this has been another rockin' episode of Rockstars Rockin'. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, rock stars, keep rocking.